We're back, and you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is Herb Cohen with my co-host, Kathy Alvarado, Helios HR, and Pete Schwartz-Vistage. I'd like to introduce to you Jim Brady. Jim is the president of an organization called Group W. Jim, what is Group W?
Group W is a modeling, simulation, and analysis corporation providing products and services to the federal sector and to industry.
Wait. Give me this again. Give me some more detail here.
Okay. A model is an abstract representation of a thing or a concept. A simulation is a model over time. The purists would argue with those definitions, but at the layman's level, that's about it.
All right. Did you have a disturbed childhood or something? How did you get involved with this wacko stuff? Weren't you playing with, like, trucks and cars when you were a kid?
Yeah, like many of the people who work in this industry, we're fascinated by games and the way games try to represent reality. If you play Monopoly, for example, that's an abstract representation of what it's like to be a real estate tycoon. And the things that it considers, the things that it doesn't consider are sort of fascinating to all of us. And then if you apply analytic skills to these sorts of games, you can hopefully learn something about reality, maybe do things a little better than you would do it otherwise, or find a better path to whatever objectives you have.
And so how does your customer benefit from this service?
Right. The broad field is called operations research. It's sometimes also called industrial engineering. And a lot of commercial companies use this. For example, Federal Express uses this to optimize its route planning for its delivery. The airlines use it to minimize fuel costs and crew costs, these kinds of things. The Department of Defense uses it largely to decide what systems to acquire, but also how to use them and how to do some really difficult things, like what's the best way to achieve our objectives in Afghanistan. So you end up doing sociocultural modeling as well as engineering modeling and these kinds of things.
Had you come to be the president of the company?
I was very fortunate that I started as a co-op at United Technologies, and that through my entire career, I've been working more or less with the same people, either in different companies or in collaborating companies or whatever the case may be. And so we decided that we would like to start a company that was built for the kinds of critical thinkers that tend to succeed in this modeling, simulation, and analysis arena. It can be kind of challenging. A good analyst is a skeptical person, and that skepticism can sometimes descend into cynicism. And so the saying, an unexamined life isn't worth living. Well, the kinds of people who work for us believe that an unexamined company isn't worth working for.
How large or how small is the organization?
We have about 85 employees.
And how old is the organization?
5 years. We started in 2004.
All right. So you're the president of an organization that's 5 years old and 85 people. You must feel really good about being the king and owning the lion's share of the stock.
We believe pretty strongly in distributed ownership. So when we started the company, we had, I think it was 28 owners the day we opened our doors. We believe, again, that the kinds of critical thinkers that succeed in this business are pretty smart, and they should have a say in the business, and we should be held accountable. So I consider myself more a steward of the business than sort of your typical CEO.
Wait a minute. But there were 28, but everybody's got like a quarter of a percent. And nobody had to put in any money, so they're not really true owners.
Right. Well, the original five founders of the company each own less than 8% now, and it's our goal that nobody ever own more than 8%. And all of the other employees who own have invested their own money to buy the stock, to include paying the startup costs of the company.
How much money was raised from the 28 of you?
Right. We raised $1.8 million.
From the 28?
Yep, from the initial employees, including ourselves.
So this is a true distributed ownership.
Oh, absolutely, and we're very interested in increasing our distributed ownership. We've been fortunate enough to have added a number of very excellent people who've bought into the company over the years, and we'd like to continue doing that, and we're looking at ways to try and make it even easier to own stock in the company. The current dilemma we sort of have, and I personally personally have is I'm interested in engaged owners. So I'm not as interested in employees who sort of just get stock as part of, say, some kind of stock program. You start at the company, here are 5 shares of stock. We do quarterly shareholders meetings, similar to like what a public company's 10-K would be. I want people who come to these meetings. For our folks overseas, we do webcasts so that they can participate. We want them to actually ask questions and to help us with our corporate governance. Less engaged owners they aren't really what we're looking for.
So how did you get 28 people to buy in with their own money and see that vision? How did you communicate that vision, Jim? And is that vision today, 5 years later, what you believed it to be, what you were reaching for?
Right. Well, we told them the truth. We told them what we wanted to do with this business. We gave them a briefing in terms of the kinds of benefits we would offer, the kinds of business we would pursue. And many of these people are people that we've known over the years and we've worked with in past incarnations. So there was some initial trust, I think, and there was a track record. Some of the people in this business were the founders of a previous small business that some of these people worked for. So we were pretty fortunate in that regard. In terms of where are we now, 5 years on, we just did our 5-year review this past April, and I think we're pretty satisfied. We briefed out to the shareholders. We kind of did a then and now briefing. Here was what we said 5 years ago. Here's where we are today in terms of the culture we promised, in terms of the leadership we promised, in terms of the kinds of business we said we'd go after. So I think we're still there. Now our challenge is dealing with size.
Tell us about your childhood. How many brothers and sisters, and when did this tendency to pull others around you in an equal fashion start showing up?
Right. I have 4 brothers and 3 sisters. Gosh, I hope I got that right.
Where are you in the pecking order?
I'm the oldest. All half brothers and sisters through subsequent marriages.
You feel a sense of responsibility.
Yeah, I didn't want to have kids because I felt like I'd already had kids. I was 12 years older than my next oldest sibling. But I think the early exposure I got to entrepreneurism, being an entrepreneur, was from my stepfather. He owned a construction business in Texas in the 1980s, and I worked for him as a helper, sort of an apprentice kind of thing. And man, that was a tough time to have a business in Texas, especially a construction business. And so I sort of swore that I would never be an entrepreneur after watching all of his struggles. In my subsequent career, I sort of figured out that the only way to really have something be what you want it to be is to build it yourself.
What do you mean the only way to get it? What is it that you wanted to be?
What
was your vision?
Right. We want it, and I say build it yourself, and I certainly didn't build it myself. We all did it together. But we had this shared vision. We have this tenet that the truth matters. That's kind of our cultural philosophy. And you can see why, if you're an analyst and you believe that through careful, critical thought, you can make things better, you believe that the truth matters. And so we wanted to build a place where we had a meritocracy, where equity was, and I don't just mean equity in the sense of stock, I mean equity in the sort of moral, ethical sense. Where equity was the watchword, where the value of a proposition had nothing to do with the status of the person making the proposition. It had everything to do with the evidence in favor or against it. And that this would be, these kinds of issues would be resolved through discourse, through a dialectic, through the give and take of argument and evidence. And I believe passionately, and I think all of the leaders at Group W do, that we are improved through this process.
Why is the name of the organization Group W?
It comes from the Arlo Guthrie song, Alice's Restaurant. So we're a little different in terms of our culture in our business space. So we get put on the Group W bench a fair bit. We challenge a lot of our competitors' assumptions about how to do business. We challenge our competitors' assumptions about how to treat the employees. We challenge their assumptions about what it takes to get the job done. We believe in open source software, for example. We don't do any proprietary software because if you build models and simulations, people need to understand how they work or they're not credible. So we think that success is a byproduct of being excellent. So we never focus on the numbers. We never focus on growth. We focus on being excellent, whether it's our infrastructure, our HR, our finance, whether it's our products and services we provide our customers. If you're excellent, the rest will follow. That's pretty threatening to a company that treats people like replaceable cogs, for example. So we're we're on the Group W bench sometimes in our business.
So given the fact that you have all these high-level analysts skilled at critical thinking, giving you lots and lots of feedback, and the level of engagement that you encourage from all the employees, how do you, as an organization, go about making the one or two key decisions
right.
with what you have to do next year?
Right. That's really a good question, because when you have the amount of discourse we have, consensus doesn't always emerge. But we reliably get to a place where we can identify the decisions, the various paths, as either being impossible to determine the best course because we don't have enough information, for example, or simply because of the uncertainties associated with being in business. And that is the reason that I am the president, because we kind of say, well, somebody's got to make the choice and somebody's got to be held accountable for the choices. So if it's a split jury, I kind of cast the deciding vote, or someone else casts, whoever's the right person. If it's an HR issue, it might be an HR person. We sort of give the hat to whoever's best qualified. But in terms of going left, going right, you know, if we have to decide and we don't have consensus, we can usually at least get to the point where people can respect the decision because everybody's had their views aired. We understand why we can't reach consensus, because I think it's a high probability event. You think it's a low probability event. Well, you can't resolve that. You just have to act and see what happens. And then at the end of the day, if you're wrong, people get to tell you you were wrong. And you get to say, yep, I was wrong. So maybe somebody else should be doing this job.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I don't know. I'm a big believer that when the student is ready, the teacher will come. So I never planned anything about my career. I just took advantage of the opportunities that I had. I hope I'm still at Group W in one fashion or another, because I'm very committed to it. But if I'm back at school studying medieval history, that would be okay with me too.
The website address for Group W
is www.groupw.com.
Excellent. We've had the opportunity of most recently speaking with Jim Brady, president of Group W.